Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q1 2016 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 2016 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Limited on Thursday, May the 5th, 2016. I am Aurora Davidson, the company's Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Such forward-looking information will include, among other things, forecasts and projections about our copper production for 2016, which involves known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from such forecasts and projections. Therefore, although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking information. You should review our press release issued on May the 4th, 2016, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information made in this presentation. Now I would like to introduce the company's President and Chief Executive Officer, Rob Henderson.
Thank you, Aurora, and thank you everyone for joining the call. For the first quarter of 2016, the company posted revenue of $19.3 million and a net loss of $4.4 million. We generated cash of $1.4 million from operations, and the company's cash balance increased to $11.8 million, up from $9 million at the end of last year. The group's reported copper price for the quarter was $2.24 per pound, compared to $2.68 per pound in Q1 2015, and we continue to be negatively impacted by low copper prices. In the first quarter, MVC produced 12.9 million pounds of copper at a cash cost of $1.81 per pound. This quantity of copper is 45% higher than the 8.9 million pounds produced in Q1 2015 and included 6.7 million pounds from the historic Cauquenes deposit, 5.3 million pounds from fresh tailings, and 0.9 million pounds from Maricunga. I think that MVC has achieved a significant milestone in that they are now extracting more copper from the high-grade historic tailings than from fresh tailings. This means that MVC are now in more control of both the quantity and the quality of tailings being fed to the plant. The ramp-up in production from Cauquenes has progressed pretty much in line with expectations, with tonnage at design rates of  60,000 tons per day and plant recovery improving to 33% at the end of March. The Cauquenes material extracted towards the end of Q1 was better quality, with low oxide content and low fines. Construction of the new sump 1B is well underway, and pumps are being assembled at a depth of approximately 30 meters below grade. Production from this sump is expected to start at the end of May, and MVC should see a positive bump in Cauquenes grade and recovery. We believe the ramp-up in production will continue into Q2, but I think that MVC has already demonstrated the potential of the historic Cauquenes tailings deposit this quarter, and the company is now set up for generating higher copper production and reduced unit operating costs for well into the future. Our annual production guidance for 2016 remains at 55 to 60 million pounds of copper at an annual cash cost of $1.65 to $1.85 per pound of copper. Capital expenditures will be significantly lower than the past, and this year we expect to spend $5 million in sustaining capex, primarily associated with building deeper extraction sumps at Carquinez. We continue with our strong focus on operating cost management, and MVC have done well to improve mill efficiency using new cyclone configurations, and we are now using less energy and less steel grinding media. MVC have also confirmed that their labor union will support a vote for no signing bonus to be paid this year when the union contract is renewed in Q3. Our partner, El Teniente, has also been supportive, and they have agreed to defer royalties for 4 months, March to June 2016, until we reach agreement on the new and lower royalty rate. Our key objective this year is to complete the Carquinez ramp-up program and to ensure MVC's liquidity. We are in the process of doing confirmatory studies for the second phase of the Carquinez expansion, which could ultimately take us up to 90 million pounds per year with cash costs below $1.50. We are also looking at restarting the moly plant, and we should have more information on these projects in Q4 this year. We've made a substantial investment into MVC, and I believe we are now well positioned in today's challenging copper price environment. And now I hand you back to Aurora to discuss the Q1 financials.
Thank you, Rob. Our results in Q1 2016 were positive in terms of production and costs, which are the two items that are under control of the company. Production increased 45% compared to Q1 2015, while direct production costs increased by only 7%. In fact, the only direct cost that had a significant increase compared to Q1 2015 was power, which increased by $1.5 million, equally from actual higher consumption as a result of stronger production and from a lower contribution from MVC's generators, which only operate when the grid price exceeds the costs of operating the units. Grinding costs increased compared to Q1 2015 by only $300,000, again, as a result of higher production. Other direct costs, including labor, maintenance, reagents, all decreased in the aggregate compared to Q1 2015 despite the substantially higher production. MVC is producing more copper, more efficiently, and with a reduced workforce that understands the challenging industry environment and is responding accordingly. Unfortunately, the price of copper continued to hover at low levels, particularly in January and February, with average prices of $2.02 and $2.08 per pound respectively, although the average price for March improved to $2.24 per pound. Copper prices notwithstanding, the company's quarterly results are on track with respect to both our annual outlook and our ability to repay financial obligations as they come due. As Rob mentioned, completing the Cauquenes ramp-up program and ensuring liquidity are our key objectives in 2016. Our Q1 quarterly cash cost of $1.81 per pound is the lowest since Q3 2010. And monthly cash cost behavior showed the right trend, decreasing from $2.13 per pound in January to $1.68 per pound in March. On top of our cash cost, we need to factor in 8.5 cents for sustaining capex, 24.5 cents for debt service, and approximately 40 cents for El Teniente royalties, which we expect will come down as a result of current discussions with El Teniente. In 2016, we have access to up to $10 million from El Teniente, which are received by MVC at a rate of $1 million a month, provided the average copper price remains below $2.80 per pound. In Q1 2016, MVC received the final disbursement from the $64.4 million Cauquenes expansion loan from BBVA and EDC and proceeded to make all outstanding payments on the Cauquenes Phase 1 expansion. As expected, the company received a value-added tax refund and allocated the funds to make a $3.4 million principal repayment on the value-added tax loan taken in connection with the Cauquenes expansion and which is due on June the 30th. Our next significant financing milestone is on June 30th when the first principal repayment on the Cauquenes expansion loan is due in the amount of $5.4 million plus debt service costs of approximately $1.8 million. All projections indicate that that payment will be made on schedule. This is the extent of my comments, and we will now open the space for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a speakerphone, please lift the handset before making a selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel the question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time. If you have a question, there will be a brief pause while the participant register. Thank you for your patience. We have a question from Joseph Rigor from Newport Beach. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Couple of questions here. I guess the first one being on, you guys provide a sustaining capital budget of $5 million, but there's still, I guess, some CapEx rolling over from the expansion. It was about 2.8, I guess, in Q1. How much more of that is left for the rest of the year?
No, the $5 million budget is for sustaining CapEx on 2016 incurred expenditures, which are, as Rob indicated, mostly deeper sumps at Cauquenes. We had about $4 million of CapEx from Phase 1, which were incurred in last year and which were repaid or paid out to suppliers this year on receipt of our final disbursement. But we basically have paid out all of the Phase 1 expansion, and we are proceeding with our normal sustaining CapEx budget, which most of it will flow through in Q2 and Q3 of this year.
Okay, so net altogether, total CapEx, including those back those payouts, is about $9 million for the year.
It is, but the additions are only going to be $5 million because $4 million were recorded as in 2015.
Okay, just trying to get the cash flow model right.
Yeah.
Noticed during the quarter that debt increased slightly. Should we expect you guys to continue to draw down a little bit, or do you feel like you're in a position now where you can start free cash flowing in Q2?
Our debt increase in Q1 was twofold. We had our final disbursement of $4.7 million, and we drew $1 million a month, so $3 million from the El Teniente price support facility. We have $7 million to draw from the facility in the remaining months of 2016, and we will draw on them if copper prices remain below 280.
Okay. And then one final one. Just, I know you guys mentioned in the original production release that March grades and recoveries improved significantly. Can you give us a little color on how Q2 is going so far? Are those levels sustaining? Have there been any volatility to it, or is it maybe even improved?
Hey Joe, it continues to improve, and then we believe once we get the new sump in place at the end of May, we'll see a noticeable bump. So we are projecting a gradual increase in the ramp up. So April was better than March, and we expect May to be better than April. So we are seeing a steady improvement in the quality of material coming out of Cauquenes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll turn it over.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question or comment. We have a question from Stephen Uttridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Just a point. It mentions a 33% recovery. Isn't that a better recovery rate than you ever got from ColorWares?
Hi, Stephen. Yes, it is. It is. We did expect this because the Calkinis tailings are, you know, quite a bit older than ColorWares. So Calkinis was put down in 1937 to 1977, and then ColorWares was 77 to 87. So Calkinis is a couple of decades older than ColorWares, and I guess technology wasn't as good back then. So there is much more copper in Calkinis than there is in ColorWares.
Okay. So just to go back to ColorWares, there's still a lot of copper left in there. If the copper prices magically got to $4 or so a pound, would you go back to looking and processing ColorWares ore?
We can, but I think what we're going to carry on is focusing on Calkinis. You know, we do have a permit maximum tonnage of 80,000 ton per day. So I think, you know, we'd go for the higher margin in Calkinis, and we've got 20 years of Calkinis ahead of us. So we would, you know, run down Calkinis, and then we would go back to ColorWares.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty good. Now, one other thing is, what is the DET expansion support loan? What does the DET stand for?
That stands for Division El Teniente. So that's basically the corporate organization for the El Teniente mine.
Ah, okay. I wondered what that was. Okay, and you'll be paying. You've got this payment due at the end of June.
Due.
Then how much do you expect to pay back in total for the whole of 2016?
For the whole of 2016, we're expecting to make debt repayments of $14 million.
How much?
$14 million.
14, okay.
Our $64.4 million loan has a repayment term of 6 years. So of the $14 million, $10.7 million are principal and the rest is interest.
Okay. Okay, thanks very much. That's good.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to turn back the meeting over to Ms. Davidson.
Thank you. Well, with no further questions, we will close our call, and we look forward to speaking back with our investors at the end of Q2 2016.
Thank you very much. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.